Kurt took all the ribbing well, but it was secondary to him, his mate's laughter like something overheard in another room. That light was in his eyes. "This really isn't very bright," Sandy said as he cinched the loop of the rope snugly around Kurt's waist. Not with any real hope of changing Kurt's mind, however. "We should probably wait and see what develops, make sure this is all, that there's nothing else coming through." "I'll be okay," Kurt said. His tone was absent. He was barely listening. Most of him was inside his own head, running over a checklist of things to do. "Maybe," Sandy said. "And maybe we're starting to get a little careless with that thing." Not knowing if it was really true, but wanting to say it out loud, try it on for size. "We're starting to really believe that if nothing's happened to any of us so far, nothing ever will. That's how cops and lion tamers get hurt." "We're fine," Kurt said. And then, appearing not to sense any contradiction, he told the other men to stand back. When they had, he took the video camera from Huddy, put it on the tripod, and told Arky to open the door. Arky pushed the remote, clipped to his belt, and the door rattled up on its tracks. Kurt let the Polaroid strap slip to his elbow, so he could pick up the video cam tripod, and went into Shed B. He stood for a moment on the concrete, halfway between the door and the Buick, one gloved hand touching the Puff Pack's mask under his chin, ready to pull it up at once if the air was as foul as it had been on the day of the fish. "Not bad," he said. "Just a little whiff of something sweet. Maybe it really is an Easter lily." It wasn't. The trumpet-shaped flowers, three of them, were as pallid as the palms of a corpse, and almost translucent. Within each was a dab of dark blue stuff that looked like jelly. Hanging in the jelly were little pips. The stalks looked more like tree bark than parts of a flowering plant, their green surfaces covered with a network of cracks and crenellations. There were brown spots that looked like some sort of fungoid growth, and these were spreading. The stems came together in a rooty clod of black soil. When he leaned toward this, none of them liked seeing Kurt lean into the trunk that way. It was too much like watching a man stick a stupid head into a bear's mouth. Kurt said he could smell that cabbagey aroma again. It was faint, but unmistakable. "And I tell you, Sandy, there's the smell of salt as well. I know there is. I spent a lot of summers on Cape Cod, and you can't miss that smell." "I don't care if it smells like truffles and caviar," Sandy replied. "Get the hell out of there." Kurt laughed. Silly old Grandma Dearborn. But he pulled back. He set the video camera pointing down into the trunk from its tripod, got it running, then took some Polaroids for good measure. "Come on in, Sandy. Check it out." Sandy thought it over. Bad idea. Very bad idea. Stupid idea. No doubt about it. And once he had that clear in his head, Sandy handed the coil of rope to Huddy and went on in. He looked at the deflated flowers lying in the Buick's trunk and the one hanging over the lip, the one Brian Cole had seen, and couldn't suppress a little shiver. "I know," Kurt said, lowering his voice so the troopers outside wouldn't hear. "Hurts just to look, doesn't it? It's the visual equivalent of hearing someone scrape a blackboard with his fingernails." Sandy nodded. "Hole in one." "But what triggers that reaction?" Kurt asked. "I can't put my finger on any one thing. Can you?" "No." Sandy licked his lips, which had gone dry. "And I think that's because it's everything together. A lot of it's the white. The white. The color. Yeah. Nasty. Like a toad's belly. Like cobwebs spun into flowers," Kurt said. They looked at each other for a moment, trying to smile and not doing a very good job of it. State police poets. Trooper Frost and Trooper Sandberg.